Hello and welcome to Around It About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller, your host today, and today we have a Halloween special. Vincent Phipps joins us. Vincent is a storyteller, a public speaker, an author. You're a man who knows your ghosts. You're also a ghost tour guide, and you've got this new book, Spooky Nooga.
Yes, Michael.
Ghost Stories from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Are these original stories you've made up? Are these Chattanooga folklore?
These are all based in Chattanooga, Michael. These are all stories I've created, but they have elements and locations, even some historical facts within the city, but I tied them around a lot of the folklore and my imagination of paranormal activities of ghosts.
And exactly what ghost tour are you a guide on?
It's called the Chattanooga Ghost Tours. The website is ChattanoogaGhostTours.com. It is a six-year-old company. We are located in downtown Chattanooga. It's a 1.5-mile walking ghost tour, and you can get more information from our website. We were also rated last year by TripAdvisor as one of the top 10 ghost tours in America.
So you're a storyteller, you're a ghost tour guide. It seems only natural you'd want to put together your own book of these. Are these stories you've told on the ghost tour? Are these new things?
These are all new. The stories on the ghost tour all occur within downtown Chattanooga. All the stories in Spooky Nooga are all of my original collaborations. I wanted to incorporate my joy for storytelling, also with a lot of the history of the city. Also sprinkling a little folklore of different ghouls and sounds and eeriness within the city to give people something entertaining as well as educational.
How did you find these stories?
I created them. I've always had a love for storytelling. I've always wanted to blend facts with fiction. I tell people that all my stories are rooted in fact, dipped in fiction, but smothered in fun.
The non-ghost storytelling you do, tell me a little bit about that.
I'm also a professional storyteller in addition to owning my own training company at Communication VIP. And one of the things I love to do is to tell stories of inspiration, of motivation, of pride. Stories are great anecdotes. So one of the things I like to do is to incorporate storytelling to teach lessons and to help people learn more about themselves and to be the most that they can be.
And I imagine these are probably more just entertaining kind of stories, the stories in Spooky Nooga.
Absolutely. I don't mean to scare the bejesus out of anyone or to have anybody prevent going to a particular location. All the stories are fabricated, but they all occur within actual events. And when you listen to each story on the CD or read them in the book, you'll hear about Brainerd Road or Tunnel Boulevard or the Wilcox Tunnel or the Market Street Bridge or the Ghost of Walnut. All of these things are historically documented to have had ghosts. I add in my own flair.
The CD version, how does that compare with the book version?
Both are wonderful. What makes the CD version different is that you have the sound. When you have the whoop, whoop, and the ah, you have the different sound effects, you can't get that from a book. Also, with the CD, it's also transferable. So if you wanted to listen to it through your Android phone or your iPod or through your MP3 player, that's a component that the book doesn't provide.
How did you put that together, particularly the audio version? That sounds like a lot went into it.
It was a lot of work, Michael. I had no idea it would be such a prodigious project. But once I got into the flow, I was able to get a lot of assistance. I was able to get help from a lot of local professionals who were able to assist me. And I was able to incorporate the sound. I was able to get a gentleman named Carlos Drake, who helped me do the local production. And once I was able to write out the content, make sure all of the format flowed well, it was just a matter of practice and delivery, and the product came out well.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Vincent Phipps. You're a storyteller. You've got this new book out, Spooky Nooga, Ghost Stories from Chattanooga, Tennessee. It is Halloween. Could you give us a ghost story today?
Absolutely, Michael. Are you kidding? I would love to share a ghost story with you. Absolutely. This first story is called Spooky Nooga. It's in the book of Spooky Nooga. This is one of my signature stories in the book and also on the CD. It's called The Ghost of Giggling Gertie. Every neighborhood has a house that everyone knows about, but no one talks about. This story is about that house. Now, when I was a child, I grew up in an area of Chattanooga called Brainerd, and there was a neighborhood called Overstreet. And in the neighborhood of Overstreet, right not too far from Lookout Valley or Lookout Mountain, it was an area that was only a few miles away from a lot of local prominent places, such as the Chattanooga Levee, the local mall. Even the Brainerd Tunnel wasn't too far from this area of Overstreet. Now, Overstreet was really one big circle that was just called Overstreet. And in the middle of that neighborhood, there was a house that a person lived in who I never knew her real name. Now, this person was a young girl. She looked maybe around 6 or 7 years old. And everybody in the neighborhood, we called her Gertie. Now, we don't know if that was a real name. But what I do know is that even today, there are people who are convinced that when you walk past this house, you can hear the sound of a child's laughter coming from the basement. Now, if you check the basement, if you know anyone that's ever been in the basement, if you walk past it, you can't see anything. You can't even feel or hear anything going on, such as movement about or anybody trying to get out. You just hear a small girl's eerie, innocuous giggle. Now, people still doubt that this even occurred today. People drive by there. Some say they hear it. Some say they didn't. What I'm about to share with you happened to me. And whether you believe in ghosts or not, you have to acknowledge when something's just playing out weird. When I was 10 years old, my mother told me never to get near that house. She never told us why. Never told any of the kids in the neighborhood why. Never told my brother why. She just said, "Don't you go near that house." So, like a good kid, I disobeyed. And I wanted to go near that house. When I went to the front porch, I saw a young girl sitting on that porch. Now, she was skinny. She was maybe the size of two pencils put together. She had these knotted ponytail braids, and she always wore this dirty-looking white dress. And the child never spoke. It wasn't until later that my parents told me that the child was different and that she had some delay issues. Now, when you're a kid, you don't know what that means. You just figure, okay, kid's just different. The child lived there with her mom. Now, to this day, I've never seen the mom. In fact, I've been told that the mom was taken someplace where the rooms were real nice and soft. When I saw that little girl, like a knucklehead little boy, I teased her. I called her names, and I threw little rocks and sticks up on her porch, and she never ever did anything mean or malicious. She would just stare back at you, and she would give you this eerie little laugh that came out as a giggle, and it always sounded like this. That freaked us out so much, we stopped walking in front of her home. We would cross the street when she came by. We started calling her, giggling, Gertie. Now, we don't know if that was her name. That's just what we called her. And when we would come home, we'd wave at her, "Hey, Gertie, how you doing, Gertie? How you doing today, Gertie?" She would just look at us. Got to the point where we were so captivated by this little girl that others would start to watch her and just point at her and tease her. One night, our parents came home and they told us never to look at her or speak to her again. Once again, we never knew why. But at this point, we obeyed because our parents were really serious. One night, they put us to sleep early. We never knew why. But everyone who stayed up a little later, they saw all these red and blue lights in front of our home. We heard sirens. We heard some ambulance, but we never really peeked out to find out what was going on. We heard a lot of commotion. A few hours later, we heard our parents in the kitchen, in the living room, talk. And we never really heard the truth about what happened. It was always bits and pieces. I would hear my mom say, "It's a shame what they did to that child." Or I'd hear my dad say, "She didn't deserve that." And just all these little just sayings, but we never really put anything together. Well, I decided I would find out what happened. So I went to my buddy, whose name was Demetrius. And at the time, I was only 10 years old. Now, Demetrius was 15. Now, to me, he was a man. I said, "Demetrius, what happened over there?" Demetrius said to me, "Man, you don't want to know. I heard that little girl was taken down to that basement by the mom. And that the girl was never seen again. But I heard they found that in the fireplace, in that basement, they found ashes. In those ashes, they seen traces of that little girl's dress. And that's all I know." Well, this was enough to freak us out. Now, you can imagine, after the years went by, there were so many people that came up with their own fabrications, their own stories about what had happened. Well, I went off to school. I went off to college. I went away. I come back 25 years later, and I want to see the old neighborhood. No, I didn't go near the house. I had enough of that house. But I did go by to see my buddy Demetrius. Now, when I knocked on his door, he came to the door, and when I remember Demetrius, what I remember, he was 15, lean, in shape, football player. When I saw Demetrius 25 years later, he was married, three kids, and Demetrius was 5 feet tall both ways. Now, when I saw my buddy Demetrius, he saw me immediately. He said, "Hey, college boy." We gave each other a hug, and we laughed, and we sat on the porch, and we sipped on sweet tea all night till it got dark. About 9 o'clock, he leans over to me and he says, "Hey, V, you remember that house?" And I said, "Oh, man, I don't go near that house. I'm thinking about that place." He said, "My daughter say, you can still hear that little girl laughing." And I said, "Man, come on." I said, "That was almost 30 years ago." He said, "You want to go?" And I said, "To the house?" He said, "Yeah, over to her house, the house of Giggling Gertie." I said, "Demetrius, I'm a grown man. I am not about to go over to that child's house." And he said, "You scared, college boy?" Now, like any real man, I had to step up to this challenge. So we went across the street, and I remember my mother's voice telling me, "Don't you go near that house." But I'm a grown man now. I got kids of my own. So I stepped onto that porch, and then Demetrius was right behind me. And we stepped on that front porch, and it was dilapidated, and it was old and crinkly. We stepped on that porch. Then Demetrius, a little bit bigger guy, he steps on the porch behind me. We grabbed that door and push on it. And I said, "Demetrius, this isn't that scary at all. I mean, the place is dusty, and it's funky, and it's mildewed, but it's not very scary. Let's get out of here." Then Demetrius said, "We ain't going down to the basement." And I said, "Fine, let's go to the basement." So as we're walking down the basement, we go down each of these steps, and it gets so dark that the moonlight can no longer illuminate where we're seeing. Every step we take, we're going further into that basement. Demetrius grabs my hand. He had these big, strong hands, and he said, "Now hold on to my hand. Every time I tug your hand, you know that's me." I said, "No problem." He gives me a tug, tug, tug. He said, "You still there, V?" I said, "Yeah, I'm still here." We walk around, and I'm feeling the slimy little walls of that basement. I hear some little critters rustling around. Demetrius grabs my hand again, tug, tug. I said, "Yeah, I'm still here, D." He said, "No problem, my man." He said, "Let's keep going, see what else is going on." I feel around, and then I feel what feels like a steel gate of an old oven. And I touch that oven, and I pull the gate open, and it creaks open like it had been touched in decades. And I open up that steel door, place my hand on these ashes, and they're still warm. Like, how can this be possible? Then I say, "Demetrius," I said, "I think we should get out of here." I said, "Demetrius, let's get out of here." And I don't hear a thing. And then what used to be Demetrius' hand was replaced by a soft, supple, almost childlike hand. And it gives me the most gentle tug, tug, tug. And I said, "Demetrius?" And all I hear was, I jerk that handle loose. I find my way out of that basement. I dash up those steps. I run out of that house, across the street. In the back of his house, across the street, I see Demetrius sitting in a corner, holding his knees to his chest like a little baby. And he's shaking, a grown man shaking. And I said, "Demetrius, why'd you run out? Where'd you go?" He looks up at me, and with fear in his eyes, he asks me, "Was a hand still warm?" And that was the last time we ever went to that house on Over Street.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
What was the inspiration for that?
There really was a house that I lived in on Blackford Street in the neighborhood called Overstreet. And there really was a house that we were afraid of. Now, there was never a ghost or anything to it. It was just this old house that people were afraid to go to. So I wanted to add some spice of what would make someone afraid to go near this home. So I created the story.
And your book, Spooky Nougat, you've also got the audio CD, Spooky Nougat. How many stories like that does it have?
There are 5 stories total. And they all are about location in Chattanooga. There's one I tell about there's a woman who disappeared on prom night that was a graduate from Brandon High School. And I tell about how her ghost can still be seen through Tunnel Boulevard tapping on your window even while you're driving. And there's stories of the ghost of Greenwood Cemetery that has green eyes, and that if you go near the lake at night, you can see a person's eyes piercing from underneath the lake. And there really was a person who had drowned in that lake who still comes back to let people know that they're still watching you. So if you try to do anything wrong, the ghost of Green Lake, those eyes will come out and they will stop you from doing anything that you feel wrong or anything that ghost feels that you're doing is wrong. So it's all stories about different occurrences and different events in the city.
You've got a background as a storyteller, but telling scary stories, that seems like such a specific skill. Mm-hmm. And with your work on the ghost tours, how did you develop that skill?
A lot of it is the implementation of timing and the nuances. A lot of it is acting and getting into that moment. Fear is one of those emotions that people run from or run towards. So when you wanted to tell stories, you add in a little breathiness with your voice. And you want to have moments of tense. You increase the tenseness in your voice so you show fear. Or if you want to show suspense, you incorporate longer pauses. And each of those implementations adds a different level of intrigue and suspense with the storytelling.
When you were working on the audio CD, how did you do the effects? Did you create them yourself? Were you using studio effects?
All the effects that you will hear in Spooky Nougat on the CD, they're all me. I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to see just how many effects I could do. A lot of the effects that we were using at first, they didn't really fit with what I wanted. So the producer had said, well, can you do them? And I'm thinking, I could try. And we did some samples, and the people who heard me doing the sound effects, they thought that those were audio manufactured sound effects, and they couldn't tell the difference. And those who could tell a difference liked the ones I did better than the ones that we'd found online, the ones we'd purchased. So just with a little bit of practice, I was able to make the stories very customized by doing exactly the sounds when I wanted them, the volume that I wanted them, the intensity that I wanted them. And it took a while to master it, but with practice, I was able to pull it off, and I hope that other people like it.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Vincent Phipps, Chattanooga storyteller, author, ghost tour guide, and author of the new book and CD, Spooky Nougat, Ghost Stories from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Who is the audience for this?
Anyone that loves a good story, Mike. It isn't for kids. It isn't for adults. All of my stories are PG. I don't tell anything about bloods or guts or anything horrific or malicious. All the stories I've told to my daughter, and at the time when I was doing the CD, she was 10. She is now 16.
How did she react?
She loved them. She gets to the point now whenever I'm around her friends, she says, "Ooh, Daddy, tell the one about the little girl that laughs and nobody can see her. Or, Daddy, tell the one about the ghost that comes out to catch people when they're doing bad things." And they love it. So the audience is anyone that loves good stories.
How can people find it?
They can either go to my website at vincentphipps.com, or they can go to my blog at communicationvip.com, or they can just call me at 423-400-1040, and they can also reach me at my office line at 703-TALK-VIP.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mike, for having me.
And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, sir.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.
Smash.